All right, well, welcome to the second message today. And again, I thank you for tuning in, joining us, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. I'd like to continue. We started a series last Sunday night on preparing for more, and I'd like to continue that this evening. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for what you've done and how you're allowing us to minister to those that are at home and abroad, Lord, and we thank you. We ask that you would guide us, guide me especially now. Give me your wisdom, fill me with your spirit, and direct me, Lord, to what exactly our people need and those that are listening. We ask that you lead us now. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, take your Bibles if you will, and let's jump into it here. 1 Samuel chapter and number 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. As I said last week, we began looking at a message series on preparing for more. Do you know that God is working in your life even now, and He's preparing you for more? He's working constantly, and He's working consistently in your life to prepare you for more. God is interested in His children succeeding and being successful and being a strong and healthy Christian. Throughout the scriptures, you find even especially, I should say, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ constantly desired for His people, His followers, to be strong believers, to be strong and healthy spiritually people. And that's what God desires for each one of us. And so as we began last week, we looked at that God is preparing each of us for something more. We saw chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. And it has primarily dealing with the story of Hannah as she made a vow to God and asked God to work in her life. And God answered her prayer and she brought forth a son, Samuel. Well, she followed through with her promise and gave Samuel to the Lord. That first message last week was entitled The Perspective in the Preparation. And we ought to have the right perspective as God is preparing us. One of the most difficult things in the Christian life is to have the right perspective as God is preparing us and moving us and directing us. It's a nasty habit for us as human beings to want to blame somebody or want to know the cause of some of the problems in our lives. It's just inevitable. That's what we want to. We want to know the why to what's going on. And sometimes God doesn't give us the why. He doesn't give us an answer. But what He's doing is preparing us. He's positioning us and He's working in our lives. And we ought to trust Him and have the right perspective as Hannah did in her life. Now, chapter 2 is a wonderful chapter of Hannah and her amazing prayer and her heart. Now, you see this. The kind of theme quote of our series that we started with last week was, God is, yes, preparing a place for us, but what? He's also preparing us for this place. He's preparing us now on this earth for the place to come. And so we see here Hannah. Now, notice the context here. Chapter 1 just gave for her, really we could say, only begotten son, her only son, the one that she prayed for years and just pleaded with God for. Now, chapter 2, she's rejoicing in God. I don't know about you, but I would find that hard to do. Lord, you've answered my prayer. You've given me what I want. Okay, now let me enjoy it. And no, she says, no, God, I promised you something and I'm going to give it to you. And my perspective now is that you're in control. You have your best interests in mind in my life and I am now going to rejoice in you. Now, Hannah had the right perspective on her preparation. Hannah asked for something to give back, not to keep. She came to the understanding during her preparation that this was about the Lord's glory, as she reveals in chapter 2 with her praise. This preparation brought her from her own desires being answered to desiring what God desired. And we touched on that last week, that when you come to God, a man delights himself in the Lord, God gives him the desires of his heart. Now, again, that's not what we would think materialistically and everything we desire. When God is exalted in our lives, we automatically come to want what He wants. You remember what John the Baptist said? Probably one of the most famous and well-known quotes in all of the Bible. He says, He must increase, what? But I must decrease. And when we submit ourselves to Christ and to His will, our will becomes His will. Our will becomes His. Now, notice here that the positioning is taking place in the preparation. The positioning is taking place in the preparation. Now, we find that Eli, if you will, notice verse number 12 of chapter 2 for sake tonight. Let's jump ahead. He says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." And it goes on to talk about what they did and how they were horrible men and taking advantage of what God had given them. Verse 17, notice, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." And by the way, shame on you and me as Christians if people abhor or disdain coming to church or following Christ because of the way we are, because of our lifestyle, because of our attitude. I mean, we've known people before, Christian people, God-fearing people, men in leadership positions of spiritual leadership. And yet they've turned away more people than they brought in. Why? Because of their attitude or because of what we see here, their disobedience to the Word of God. And so seeing this and understanding, are you drawing people to God or are you pushing them away? What a challenge to each one of us. What a challenge. And we go through and see some of these things and understanding it. So the sons of Eli were wicked men. There was no open vision from God at the time. The Word of the Lord was very precious, the Bible says. The nation was in a spiritual decline. But God, notice this, was positioning the nation for more. Does that sound like us today, maybe? Huh? A spiritual decline nationally, a spiritual decline even today around the world. But God is positioning His people for more. He's preparing us for more. And I pray, and I have been praying, God, You'd open up opportunities for us as a church family to see people saved through this time. They may come to You, they may come to me. "Hey, Brother Tim, I see what's going on and all these things around us, and I wonder, hey, what is God doing? Maybe there is an end. Maybe there is a God, and we have an opportunity to share the wonderful good news, that gospel to those people." Now, let me start here. Number one, I want you to notice with me as we move ahead. Let's jump to chapter number 3, and for this sake of time here, I want you to take time and read through these chapters. But here, as we begin, chapter 3, notice if you will, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" What an amazing story, and you recall this. I especially recall this during my young days in church and Sunday school. This story you can recall, and you can really picture and imagine the scenario here that's taking place. But as we're going to understand the positioning in the preparation from God, I want you to notice, first of all, there's a disruption of rest. A disruption of rest. As I said earlier, the child of God is not called to a bed of ease, right? He's not called to a bed of roses. The red carpet is not rolled out for the child of God when he's called to serve God. What? He's actually called to heartache. He's called to pain. He's called, we don't talk about this a lot as Christians, and we should more. He's called to a life, as we said earlier, Paul said to Timothy, enduring hardness as a good soldier. Enduring things you don't want to put up with. Enduring people you don't want to deal with. Enduring persecution you don't want to have to deal with. There's a disruption of rest. And if you're going to understand the preparation process from God, you're going to have times of a disruption of rest. And that's what God does. You recall in the latter portion of the Gospel of John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I have to go away, fellas, but don't worry, I'm sending the Comforter. He uses that term, Comforter, to describe the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in order to have a Comforter, you have to be uncomfortable so that He can comfort you. Does that make sense? You have to have a Comforter come into your life. You don't need a Comforter when you are comfortable. You need a Comforter when you're uncomfortable. And Jesus goes on to say, listen, they're going to hate you. What? Me? Yeah. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you were of the world, they would love their own. But because you're not of the world, what? They're going to hate you. There's a disruption of rest. Don't think that, boy, oh, God's punishing me. God's doesn't want to bless my life. I just can't get rest in my life. I'm not talking just about sleep. You know what I'm saying. There's a disruption in your life. Take it as, whoa, I know I'm living for God. I know I'm following God's will. I know I'm not involved in sin. I'm right with Him. But I wonder why all these things are happening right now in my life. Hey, take it that God is positioning you for something more. Now, He does this disruption to test our sensitivity to His voice. Now, think about that. I love this story. He comes and says, Samuel, can you imagine laying there in bed, a young boy? No one's there. Mom's not there. Dad's not there. I can't imagine poor Samuel. And he's got some, pardon my language, but some old guy, okay, over there that can't hear, can't see. And all of a sudden you hear a voice come out of nowhere. I mean, you would be freaked out. I would be. And he says, oh, must be Eli. He's the only guy here. Let me go ask. He tests our sensitivity to his voice. He says, Samuel. Samuel goes and says, here am I. Now we see here that verse 7, Samuel did not know the Lord yet. He didn't know the Lord. Little parenthetical thing here with our children. They don't know the Lord yet. Maybe if they're younger. They don't know the Lord. You need to begin to, if you will, help them to recognize or be sensitive to the voice of God. How do we do that? Keep them in church. Get them around the Word of God. Make them begin, even at the young age. Listen, 3, 4, 5-year-olds can memorize Scripture much easier than we can, right? It's hard to memorize Scripture. Last year, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I just want, for sake of example, I memorized the entire book of 2 Timothy. And it took me a long time. It took me an entire year. I'm thick-headed and I'm slow to learn, but it took me a long time. But I did it. I memorized the entire book of 2 Timothy. Now, don't ask me to quote it to you now, but you folks know what I mean. We need to be challenging our children to understand and hear the Word. You know, when they get older and they hear Scripture read, they go, oh, that's the Bible. You know, a lot of kids today, they hear the Bible, they go, wonder what that is. Is that Shakespeare? What is it? But coming back to this, God is testing our sensitivity to His voice. Now, Elijah, you know, he got up in that cave. He was depressed. He was discouraged. Great whirlwind came, earthquake, all these, what happened? God says, no, I'm in a still small voice. God is still speaking today in a still small voice. I think a lot of churches today are so loud and they're so, pardon my language, but they're obnoxious in a lot of ways. Are they hearing the voice of God? I'm reading a book now, and one phrase that the man pointed out was that we're so addicted to the experience of finding God that when we actually find God, we don't really like that. We want the experience of, I want to just see if I can find God. God says, I'm here. You can find me. And we think about this here. Are you listening to the voice of God? Now notice again, His speaking is still and soft. His speaking is sometimes at an hour when we don't expect it, right? Samuel was ready for bed. How come God didn't speak to Samuel on maybe a Sabbath day? How come God didn't speak to Samuel when, man, things were going, Lord, I need you to speak right now. You ever had those situations? It's in an hour. It's in an hour when we least expect it. And when God speaks to you when you're driving home from work, and when God speaks to you in the middle of the night, and when God awakes you out of bed at 3 a.m, don't take it and scoff and cast it off as, oh, I don't know what that was. Lord, speak. Thy servant heareth. Are you trying to tell me something, God? Are you trying to speak to me? Are you trying to remind me of maybe my, there's a little bit of a lacking in my parental guidance? Is there a little bit of a lacking in my marital relationship? Is there something that I'm not doing, Lord? I'm spending too much time on social media, too much time around the television, not enough time in the scriptures, right? That's for me. We need to be careful about that. His speaking, thirdly, is often on a, often in a secluded place at a secluded time, private time. Do you know God wants to speak to you in a private, secluded time? What did Jesus do? Jesus got alone, went out to the wilderness. He went out a great distance, if it says, and he was there very early in the morning, a great while before the sun arose, the Bible says, the gospel says, he got alone with God. Jesus goes on to say, listen, don't go out in public as these Pharisees do, and great prayers. Oh, I want everyone to know that I spent hours in prayer this week. No. He says, but when you pray, go into your closet. If God decides to exalt you and let people know that, then so be it. That's his prerogative. You do what you're supposed to do. But notice, it's a secluded place at a secluded time. Yes, come to church and worship God publicly and corporately. Yes, follow through. Yes, read the Bible to your children. Yes, spend time in the scriptures and in prayer publicly at times. But there ought to be a vast majority of your time spent in a secluded place in a secluded time. Can I encourage you with that? Maybe find a place in your home and a place that's secluded. Clean out a closet somewhere. Make a little place on the corner of your office. Take a place in your bedroom. I don't know. But take some time and say, God, this is a holy place where I spend time with you. I want to know you. There's a disruption of rest. Now it takes us from where we are to where he wants us to be, this positioning. He's preparing for rest, Samuel, and God is preparing to speak. Do you notice what he says? God desires for us to get onto his timetable, onto his schedule. That's the wonderful thing. He's desiring for you and me to get off of our schedule and get onto God's schedule. The great leaders and saints of the past that have served God, what was a key mark of them? They followed God and did whatever he wanted them to do. They didn't say, well, God, my schedule today is this, this, and that, and I'll throw in some time today. I'll give you a little bit of time. Now, you, dear folks, have a full-time job. You mothers have a full-time job at home caring for the kids and other things, and many of you, maybe single parents out there, are overloaded. And you have to fulfill those responsibilities, but there's always time. A great pastor of the past said, duties never conflict. If you put Christ first, you'll have all the time you need. And God is taking us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And if we'll listen and follow, he'll direct us. He was preparing for rest. God's preparing to speak. He was positioned to serve. God was preparing to promote. I love this. He was positioned to serve. Samuel was. But God was preparing to promote. What does the proverb say, right? He will exalt the humble. The proud and the mighty, boisterous and pompous man. Why? He's often low. It's the humble people that God exalts. And God can only trust the humility of one of his servants. If he wants to give more to them, he's not looking for a pompous person, a proud person. Well, they can't handle it. They're going to go and blow it. He trusts it to the humble people. Humble. Are you preparing to serve? That's good, because God's going to promote. Don't you try and promote yourself. It never works. It never works. It never will work. Thirdly here, he was honoring to his authority, and God honored his obedience. Do you notice Samuel, obviously the only other person there was Eli. He goes to Eli, but the great picture for us here is that he goes to a spiritual authority. He says, hey Eli, I heard a voice, but I don't know what it is. Now, sadly, Eli was supposed to be the leader, spiritual leader of Israel, and he was not where he was supposed to be. And he came and he said, well, I don't know what it was. Go back to bed. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not a spiritual leader. Immediately, he should have said, that's the voice of the Lord. It took him three times. And Eli finally goes, well, hey, I bet that's the voice of the Lord. But Samuel did what was right. He did what was right. Today, maybe for some of you young people, some of you middle schoolers and even teenagers, if you don't really know, you're not very experienced in the Bible, you haven't had a very strong walk with the Lord yet, go to a spiritual leader. hey, I feel like God's calling me. I feel like God is leading me. I feel like God is speaking to me, but I don't know exactly what He's saying. I don't understand it. Go to a spiritual leader. Go to a spiritual leader. What a responsibility or an indictment that is on a spiritual leader. We need to be prepared. We need to be in a place where we can say, well, I know exactly what God's doing. I know where He wants us or wants you to be. Let me move ahead. He does this disruption of rest to examine our patience in His due time. Our patience. Are you willing to wait on God, His due time? He will exalt you in due time. That phrase, due time, in Scripture basically means God's time. And God's time is never late. God is never too early. He's never late. He's right on time. It's His timing. It was an inconvenient time. It was an unconventional way. It was a repetition of the same before God revealed more. Now let me hone in on that point. He says, Samuel. He says, Samuel. He says, Samuel, Samuel. It's a repetition of the same before God revealed more. Sometimes we get so disdained, if you will, or we have a disdain for the same repetition, the same thing over and over. And God says, if you're not willing to follow that, I'm not going to reveal more to you. Well, God, make me a great pastor and a great preacher to preach to thousands of people. Make me a great person. Put me in the limelight. Do all of these things. Well, hang on a second. You're not even following the basics. You're not following through with the basics 101 of the Bible. And for God to reveal more to you, are you faithful where you are right now? Well, I want to be a part of a big and a fancy and a dynamic church. Hang on a second. Maybe God's called you to a smaller church to help build. We're, Lord willing, getting ready this year to begin the building process of a new church, of a new facility. We're asking God, we're praying, we're pleading with God to do His work. We know all that's, we don't know all, but we do know there's going to be great spiritual warfare. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be a hindering. But we also know that God is still in control. We also know that God is still on His throne. We also know that God's Word is true and faithful, and His promises are true. And we can follow that. And we need to come back and say, God, I want to follow what You want for me. And He says to Samuel, Samuel. And He basically said, here am I. What is it, God? Now that's easy enough for You to do, isn't it? For me to do. What do You want from me, God? What is it that You're asking me? It's not anything complicated. Acts chapter number 9, Paul was strolling down, getting ready to persecute more Christians. Bright light shone down from heaven, didn't it? What happened? God came. Jesus Christ came. Said, Saul, why are you persecuting? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And, you know, Paul, or Saul at the time, asked two questions. He says, who are You, Lord? Who are You, Lord? Then he says, what do You want me to do? As simple as that. What do You want me to do? And God said, well, basically get up and go into the city. But then what? That's it for now. I can do that. God doesn't expect much from us, does He? Not at all. And we make excuses, excuse after excuse is why we don't want to follow God. It's too hard. I can't do it. Let me hurry here. Number two, not only the disruption of rest, there's a discernment of the calling. Discernment. Verse number 7, as we already read it. A discernment. A discernment. Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. He knew the Lord, but did not know the Lord, if you understand what I mean. He did not know the Lord. Knowing the Lord comes by seeking through spiritual authority. We already said that. Knowing the Lord then comes by personal communication. Did you know you can have personal communication with the Lord? Now again, let me clarify. You will not hear an audible voice from God. That's not the age we live in. God has said all that He's going to say here. Now our duty is to obey it. He said all He's going to say. He's not going to come to you in an audible voice at night. Okay? You follow the Word of God. There's a discernment of the calling. Personal communication. You can have it. You can have it. See, God speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to God through prayer. It's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. It's easy if we'll take time and do it. Knowing the Lord then continues by deciphering His voice from other voices. Right? We're to try the spirits. You think about some of this, and I said this last week, but I'll say it again. I heard a fella just a while back. He said, listen, I know what the Bible says, Brother Tim, but you don't know the experience I had. I know what the Bible says, but boy, I had an experience, and I know it contradicts the Bible, but I trust my experience more than the Bible. Listen, sir, that's a wrong spirit. That's of another spirit. you need to come back to, and I said this, that the Holy Spirit and the Bible never, ever, ever contradict each other, and they never will. They are always cohesive. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Holy Scriptures that we hold in our hands this very hour. He will guide us unto all, what? Truth. Jesus said that about the Holy Spirit. He'll guide us unto all truth. So there's a discernment of the calling. There was counsel from the spiritual leader, Eli, but the Lord did not speak through the spiritual leader, did he? The Lord did not speak to the spiritual leader, and he did not speak through the spiritual leader. There are some Samuels in our church, I believe, and in your churches that we don't know about. There are some people that would be a Samuel, if you will, that God is speaking to and through, and maybe not to or through you. We ought to be careful about that. We ought to encourage people. That's why we do each week, to get close to God, to understand and seek God and listen to what He's saying, speaking through the Word of God. Let me move ahead. God's speaking comes to the spiritually mature. The spiritually mature. As we begin last week, I said, it's time for us to take the bib off and put on the apron. If you're to a point where you're past someone spoon-feeding you spiritually, you need to then be feeding yourself. If you're past the point of feeding yourself, you need to then be feeding other people. I talked to another fella. He said, well, I like to come to church, but when I come to or go to church, I already know everything that's being preached. I already know. I said to him very kindly, well then, sir, it's about time for you to stop feeding yourself and to start feeding other people, isn't it? And that new thought kind of rolled around a bit, and he thought, you're right. You're right. We need to be feeding other people. But it comes to the spiritually mature. The more we hear, then we heed more, if you will. Again, age or position does not determine God's use. Age or position does not determine God's use in your life. What does Paul say to Timothy? Be thou an example of the believers. Word, conversation, charity, faith, all of that. Be thou an example of the believers. Timothy was a young man or younger man. He's saying be an example of and to the older. To the older. Let me say number three, though, then there was a decision to hear. A decision to hear. Notice verse number 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down. It shall be if he call thee, thou shalt say, and you might want to underline this in your Bible, speak, Lord, for thy, what? Servant heareth. Thy servant heareth. He says it again a second time in verse 10. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. There was a decision to hear. Now, we must make a decision to hear the Word of God. Don't just gloss through your Bible reading. Don't just thumb through your Bible. Don't just read a proverb a day keeps the devil away. Now, that does. We joke about that. But I think you need to mature past just a couple chapters a day. I think all of us, especially during this season, this time, where we're going to be at home a little bit more than usual, take time to study the Bible. When's the last time you read through the first 5 books of the Bible? When's the last time you took time to read through the major prophets and the minor prophets? Oh, what a treasure trove there is. I recently just got through the minor prophets. At times, I think, well, this is kind of redundant. This is a little bit laborious to read through. But there's these nuggets that are there, and it's just a treasure trove of information and of a working, if you will, a speaking of the Holy Spirit that He did in my own life reading through that. But we need to make a decision to hear. Make a decision to hear the Word of God. Notice the Word of the Lord didn't change, but Samuel's response to the Word brought about more details from the Word of God. Did you catch all that? The Word of God did not change. Samuel, 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 Samuel. But Samuel's response to the Word brought about more details from the Word of God. Lord, I want to know more. When you open your Bible tonight or maybe tomorrow morning or this evening, why don't you say that phrase to God? Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. Lord, speak, thy servant is listening. I'm hearing. I want to know what you want for me. Tell me and give me exactly what I need. Don't think that's some kind of mystical thing. It's real. The Holy Spirit is here to help you, to guide you unto all truth. He even goes so far, if you recall Jesus saying, what's He say? He will bring to remembrance those things that I told you. That's the Holy Spirit's work. When you read the Bible, He'll bring to remembrance. He'll clarify the Word of God. As you have and have studied maybe some of this, but there is something called the golden rule to what we say is hermeneutics or Bible interpretation. And that golden rule is this: Scripture interprets Scripture. You can understand the Bible by simply having just the Bible. You don't need to read it through, and I've heard this many, many times from many people. I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. I just don't know what he's saying. It's too hard to read. No, it's that we're not in the Spirit. You need to ask God to help you and guide you and lead you. He will, and he will. He's promised. Now, it's the position of the heart. He said, "Speak, thy servant heareth, Lord." Do we have a heart to hear the word? To understand the positioning from God in this preparation process, we must decide to hear from him. What do those young men do when they arrive the first day of boot camp? United States military, every branch, what do? They show up and they say what? "I'm glad I'm here, and I'd like to give you a list of the things I want." No. "I'd like to have filet mignon tonight. I'd like to have my clothes washed." No. What do they say? "I'm here." And that drill instructor gets in their face sometimes. And he says, "This is what we're going to do. This is what you're going to do. We're going to tell you what you're going to do. We're going to tell you when to go to bed. We're going to tell you when to get up. We're going to tell you when to eat. We're going to tell you when to do this and that," right? What are they doing? They're preparing these young men and women for one day they may possibly get into battle. They're preparing these young men and women one day to be able to serve the United States properly and effectively. And God is working right now in your life and my life, and he's preparing us. And it may seem difficult. It may seem hard. It may seem challenging. But he's preparing us. He's positioning us. Because what? He knows what's out ahead of us. He wants to use you in a specific way. Me? No, not me. Yes, you. He wants to use us. Do we have a heart to hear? And many will hear, and they'll trust their own way. They'll trust their own advice. And then let me conclude here, number four. I want you to notice with me here. There's a declaration of the truth. Notice verse 11 here, and we'll close out. "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice, nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered," notice, same phrase, "Here am I." He said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so with to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. He said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." What a challenge. There's a declaration of the truth. Declaration of the truth. In this positioning, during the preparation process, there will be a repeated declaration of the truth. There was a declaration of the truth from the Lord. He was repeating most of what he had already revealed in the preceding chapter, if you recall. He reveals it again. Now, a couple points here and we'll be done. Number one, we often tend to lose sight of the truth when being prepared due to fear or fret. Now, as we talked about earlier, the fear that can come over us. We lose sight of the truth. We lose sight of what God is doing. We lose sight of the preparation, right? Due to fret, due to fear. We tend to lean into our own understanding during preparation. Lord, there's times in the preparation process, you've been there, I know. You folks that are listening, you've been there. When it gets so tight, it gets so bottlenecked, it gets so hard, and you just think, I can't make one more payment. We can't go one more day like this. And it can get so dark. And I want to remind you of something. The darker the night, the brighter the light, right? You say, God, I can't handle anymore. I can't go one more step. I can't deal one more day with this issue, with this problem. Lord, you know we can't. And I want to remind you of something. God's hand is on what? The thermostat. God knows exactly how much you can handle. God knows exactly how far you can go. God knows all that you can do. He's not going to overwhelm you. So what again we said at the beginning, trust the preparation. Accept the preparation in your life. You may be coming down, some of you dear, coming into your golden years of life. I don't know what else I could do, you may say. I've served God, I love God, I've been faithful, but I don't feel I can do much more for God. Don't you say that. God is still preparing you. God is still working. God is still leading. Some of you may be young or middle-aged. You say, I don't know what God is doing. I feel like I'm not worthy, and you're not. I can't do it, and you can't. I'm not good enough, and you're not. You're right. We say, God, you're in control. If you'd like to take this vessel and use it, I'd love to be used. I love to be used. We submit ourselves to Christ. We submit. We don't wave the white flag of surrender. Oh, I guess, Lord, I guess I'll give you what I have, because you won't leave me alone if I don't. He doesn't want that. He wants submission. God, I come to you with every insufficiency and every insecurity and every shortcoming, and I also give you any talent that I may have or possess, and I give it all to you. I want you to lead me. Now, we tend to lean into our own understanding. We tend to question God's motives during the preparation. And this is legitimate. This is real. This is nothing to be ashamed of. We say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And sometimes we question and we go, Lord, is there sin? Is it something I'm not doing right? Is there something missing? And these are good questions to ask all of us, ask ourselves, because God is trying to stir our hearts. He wants to see our hearts. So there's a declaration of the truth. In order to understand the preparation, you need to know the truth. I know this, according to the Bible, God has said He has His best interests in mind for me. God has said that He loves me. God has said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God has said in Romans 8, earlier in that chapter, that God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, nobody can be against you. Isaiah puts in, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prevail. No weapon. So understanding those promises, you can say, God, I don't understand maybe some of the preparation, but I trust you. I know you have my best interest. I know you're in control. And then lastly, the Lord chose to declare, excuse me, to Samuel the truth. Now Samuel repeated everything the Lord had said. Notice this, he did not deviate from the word. Didn't deviate. He didn't hide anything to what the Lord had told him. He stayed true. Deviation from God's word always brings contamination. We saw that in the sons of Eli, didn't we? The sons of Eli. Notice verse 13, one more. He knew about the iniquity, and he restrained them not. What did Eli do? Deviated from God's word. He knew what the Bible said about sin, and what did he do? Well, that's okay. He knew what the Bible said about the iniquity they were committing, and the defilement they were committing, and the deviation from the word of God they were committing. And Eli said, well, can't do anything about it. Well, it's beyond my control. No. God pointed to Eli and said, this is your responsibility. Because you restrain them not, you're out of the picture. Now notice, deviation from God's word always brings contamination. More people are confused and messed up spiritually because they deviate from this Bible. Just stick to the book. It's not hard to do. Stick to the book. More people have started more cults and more false religions because they deviated from this book. We ought to be very careful about that. Number two, there's a declaration of God's word. And when we declare God's word, it brings promotion. We're not looking for promotion as children of God at all. But what it does is it brings promotion. It brings promotion to your church, brings promotion to your family, brings promotion to your marriage, promotion to your children. On and on we go. Why? We declare the word of God. The world says, do it this way. Trust your heart. Go with your gut. We say no, because Proverbs says that he that trusteth his heart is a fool. We trust the word of God. So declaration of God's word. Declare God's word to your coworkers, to your family, to your children. And when Eli should have led his children at a young age, he didn't. What happened? They came home to roost. Right? You reap what you sow. We got to begin now. And let me conclude. There's a declaration. There's a deviation. But thirdly, there is a dedication to God's word, which brings revelation. Notice verse 21, and let's conclude. It says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. What a wonderful play on words. He revealed himself, how? By the word of the Lord. Do you know God today will reveal himself and his way and his will? How? By a voice, an audible voice? No. By some light in the sky? No. The word of the Lord. Now you and I can do that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You and I have the Bible. You and I have it in our own language. Shame on you for not spending time in the Bible. Shame on me for not spending adequate time in the Scriptures. I have it in my own language. I can understand it. I know how to read. A dedication to God's Word brings revelation. Revelation. You get to know more of God. You get to know more of His will. You get to know more of His way. You get to know more of what He wants for you in your life. People that spend adequate time in the Bible, what? They got their head on their shoulders. They know what's going on. They know where they're going. They know what's happening. They're not fearful right now. They're trusting the Lord. They're using necessary precautions. They're being wise about these things, but they know the Lord. Now, let me conclude. There's a preparation going on in your life. Have you accepted the preparation? Have you accepted what God is doing? Because not only do we have to have the right perspective during this preparation, but we have to understand that God is positioning us now for something more. He's preparing us for more. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful to know? He's preparing us for, He's not holding us back and saying, now, Tim, hold on a sec, you're getting a little out of control. What's He doing? He's working. I want more for you. Oh, God, it hurts, though. I want more for you. Lord, it's uncomfortable. I've given you the comforter. Lord, I'd rather just stay in my little box over here and be comfortable. And Lord, just do maybe some things here and there. He says, no, I have more for you. I have more for you. Are you being prepared today? Does the positioning in your life maybe hurt a little bit, uncomfortable? Don't take it as something God's doing to punish you. Take it as, hey, my Father loves me, and He's preparing more for me. He's working in my life to get me to a better place, a better position. Listen, He's preparing a place for us, but also He's preparing us for that place. Now accept the preparation. Let us pray, Lord, we thank You again. I pray that, Lord, through this message, somebody's heart was stirred. I pray through this message, as You stirred my heart, convicted my heart, that someone out there, Lord, listening, has the same. Your Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking this very hour. If we'll listen, if we'll heed, You will speak. And God, we understand that in every child of Yours, You're positioning them for more. You're preparing them for more. We don't understand all of it. It's hard often to understand. It's often maybe painful. It may be uncomfortable. But God, help us to be spiritually mature believers and children of Yours that accept that preparation, Lord. We love and thank You. In Thy name we do pray. Jesus' name and amen. Thank you.